Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest lives in rural Portugal. She loves Dungeons & Dragons and is releasing her debut young adult fantasy novel, Flight of an Orphan Thief. Please welcome mother, author, dreamer, doer, Shanaz Raji. Hi, Shanaz.
Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show today. We're so excited. We can't wait to talk about the book. But before we jump into all that, can you take us back to your very first experience with Dungeons and Dragons and tabletop role-playing games?
Absolutely. I would love to. Although it's not really, I don't think I can pinpoint the absolute first one, but it really, my brother is to blame, in the sense that he's almost 8 years older than I am. And he used to play Dungeons and Dragons with a group of his friends very often on a Friday or Saturday evening. And I would always sneak in and just listen, rapt. And it kind of became a running joke over the years because I knew that if I was really quiet, my parents would assume I was up in bed. And so I would stay up way past my bedtime just listening to these adventures and reveling in them. And it's only when I think it was when I was a teenager, probably 12 or 13, that my brother finally begrudgingly said, "Do you want to join us? Because if so, I can do a little adventure for you to get you into it, and then you can join the group." And I said, "Absolutely." And so, in that sense, my first experience actually playing a character in an adventure, as opposed to just bearing witness, I played Winged Centaur actually, and it was short, but it was fun. And then from there, I joined sort of the bigger group and played through high school. And honestly, some amazing memories, as you know.
That is fantastic. Now, fast forwarding, you are a wife and a mother, and you have one on the way. Is that right?
Correct. A second little girl.
Congratulations. Congratulations. And that's so exciting. How old is your oldest?
She just turned 3.
Fantastic. And have you had the opportunity to do any sort of gaming with your 3-year-old?
No, not yet. I look forward to the day that comes. But for now, it's been mostly planting seeds and telling her a lot of stories and bringing up magic and dragons and, you know, all of that good stuff.
That's wonderful. And that's how I have 3 stair steps. They are all about 17 months apart, but now they're pretty grown. My oldest just turned 18. My middle is 16, turning 17, and my youngest is 15. So, but I started gaming with them when they were very, very tiny, like 5, 4, 3. But it started with bedtime stories, being interactive, them choosing the directions and things like that, and having their little influence on how the story went. And that built the blocks towards tabletop role-playing games. So that's wonderful. You're already doing that foundation. I think that's great. I have had the pleasure of getting to read Flight of an Orphan Thief, at least the beginning chapters. And I am so excited for the book. Now, the book is coming out.
So the publication date is March 20th, which I picked because it's the Persian New Year. So I'm half Iranian by background. And so that felt like an auspicious date to choose, also because it's a month before my human baby due date. And so that felt like a safe buffer.
All right. That is terrific. So March 20th, 2024, the Flight of an Orphan Thief comes out. And where is it going to be available?
It will be available on Amazon through both Kindle and paperback.
Fantastic. All right. I have had so much fun reading the beginning of this novel. And I was so engrossed in the setting and following our hero around. But for the folks who are listening, can you tell us a little bit about the novel and what the premise is?
Mm-hmm. Happily. So the novel follows a young Ayla, who is about 16 and grew up on the streets of Thapis. And she gets framed and into a lot of trouble and gets a second chance. And so the story follows her as she navigates all these different challenges and changes life pretty drastically from living on the streets to having, in many ways, a much more comfortable life, but with other challenges. And she gets kind of, you know, she's doing her best trying to figure out who she is and where she belongs. And she gets pulled into kind of a web of intrigue between two big family houses. It really follows her as she develops some of her skills, her street skills, and figures out sort of how to trust people, who to trust, to how to figure out, you know, who she is, given that she doesn't know who her family is.
So I loved the book right from the go. The way you describe the city, the way you describe Ayla's poverty, her struggle for survival, right out of the gate, I am just sucked right into the setting, and the intrigue is right there. And I know it's going to play a bigger part in the book as we go on, and I'm so excited to see what happens. But I'm going to tell you, when she gets framed and captured and is taken to the city dungeon, like, I am genuinely terrified for our hero. Like, I'm like, oh no, what is going to happen to her? And the relief at the second chance was so surprising. Like, I was like, oh, there's no way this is gonna get better for her. Oh no, what's gonna happen? And I was just so right there. The emotion was so raw. The description was so detailed. And I was just so like, I was hooked right there. And I knew, I'm like, I am gonna read this whole book. And I cannot wait to see what happens. So we've got to ask, what was the inspiration for this story? What did you draw upon? Is she a character from a Dungeons and Dragons adventure that maybe you played or you ran?
Well, that's spot on. She the idea for this book, it's basically the backstory to one of my favorite Dungeons and Dragons characters that I played for a couple of years. And it all sort of happened. I didn't ever set out with the intention of writing this book, but a couple of years ago, I was between jobs. I was in rural Portugal, but I had really good Wi-Fi, and I found out about the National Novel Writing Month, the NaNoWriMo Challenge. Which, you know, if anybody doesn't know about it, it's every month of November, a whole bunch of people get together and the idea is to write 50,000 words in 30 days. And I thought, actually, I would love to try this, but I didn't know what I would write. And I came up with all sorts of different ideas. And because this all happened sort of pretty close to November 1st, none of them felt feasible because I didn't have like a world that was built. I didn't have a whole story or characters fleshed out. And then suddenly I thought back to Ayla and the adventures I had with her a little bit older. And I thought that would be perfect. I mean, I know her, I know sort of what happened later. And so that is the intention here, is that it's the backstory of that character, that I discovered as I wrote it, to be perfectly honest, because I don't consider myself a pantser. But in this case, I have to say, I did not have everything outlined. I just had sort of a general idea of where she ends up. And then I let the muse inspire me along the way.
And I love that story because it just goes to show how you haven't had the opportunity to play Dungeons and Dragons in many, many years. And so this love of our hobby from years ago brings you to a point where now you are a published author and you are sharing this story of this character that you have loved for a very long time with the world. And it just shows how our hobby of tabletop role-playing games gives way to all kinds of art forms, whether it's art or performance or writing. It just blossoms from this love of the game. And I love that this is a character that you've played, that you know intimately, that you've experienced adventures through her eyes, and you have taken it back and kind of back constructed the story of how she became by saying, how did my hero before she was a hero end up this way? And I think it is so great that we have the privilege of getting to go on that journey with you and get to meet this character of yours from your Dungeons and Dragons days. So I think that is amazing. The other thing that I love so much about the book is you introduce so many characters that it brings the city to life. The innkeeper Gus, your description of him, his anger, his pot belly, Silver Spear, the city guard, who is just this kind man, and his backstory that just like pierce me as you realize his motivations and things like that. It made it tangible and relatable that the novel was so easy to just keep turning the pages. I was up late, falling asleep, reading it, wanting one more chapter. It was so, so good. So I am super excited for the release. I cannot wait to see it in its completeness and get to find out how all of those webs of intrigue that are alluded to in the beginning, how they all tie together and how our hero makes it through. So I am so excited. So with that in mind, is there plans for a sequel or a series? And will we have more adventures in the city of Thapis?
Yes. I set out to write this as a standalone, but then life happened and it just, the words and the ideas wouldn't stop. So yes, there is at least one sequel, possibly two, that I've already made decent progress on. So I don't have a time frame for it exactly, but there's definitely more where this came from. And so I'm really, as much as I'm really excited to share this first book with the world, I'm also really excited about what is to come, because it just delves more into the fun bits. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give anything away, but yeah, there is definitely more to come.
That is terrific. We know that the orphan thief Ayla is based on your old D&D character, but what I've noticed with authors is sometimes we make Dungeons and Dragons characters either about us or about our alternate ego. So can you share with the folks at home a little bit of how Ayla is like you in the real world?
That's a really good question. Anybody who knows me and reads this book will probably recognize certain things in Ayla and her way of being. She definitely loves food, and I'm an absolute foodie. She is very angry. I used to be. I've luckily outgrown that phase, but when I was younger, I definitely had a lot of anger. And just the way she goes about things of always kind of, you know, doing her best with whatever she is handed, and always trying to learn. And I mean, that's something that I definitely try to do as well. So I think there are a lot of elements there. But then there's probably a lot of projection too, right? Of things that I wish I could do. You know, she's a really good climber. I am not. I've tried. But that is, gravity wins most of the time in my case. So there are certain differences there. She has in the book, she has a couple of experiences on horseback and really enjoys it. And I am an avid horseback rider. So I think that that's inevitable. I suspect, especially in early books, right? I think over time she will probably veer a little bit away from me and go more into her own. But yeah, there are definitely elements, I have to say, both realistic ones and projections. I think wishful thinking is definitely there too.
That is wonderful. And I love that you have such a connection with her, and your descriptions of her spending her early days on the rooftops of Thapis is so beautiful. There's one scene where she's watching the sunset with a friend of hers on a rooftop. And one of the things that you say is that they just enjoy the silence. And I was there on the rooftop with them watching that sunset over Thapis. And it was so beautiful. And I enjoyed it so much. I was so engrossed in the scene from your descriptions. It was such a perfect calm before the action takes off and everything goes awry. And it's such a contrast that it makes you just peace, and then suddenly, oh no, what's happened? Her getting set up and then captured, and you're just like, oh my gosh, how did this go so wrong? We had such a wonderful day the day before. And that leads me to my next question. She has a rival, a redhead kind of counter to her, and it kind of shows her contrast where Ayla is kind of more of a loner, and this other, this rival redhead, she's got a pack with her and she can't do things on her own, and she's kind of insidious and that sort of thing. Is she based on somebody you know?
She is not, actually, but probably an amalgamation of people, in the sense that, you know, to me, if I thought of what makes sense in a situation like that, I really saw her sort of nemesis as someone who, I guess, embodies the bully, right? Somebody mm-hmm. who probably has a lack of self-confidence and has her own struggles, but the way that it shows up in the world is kind of rough on people around them. And that's something that I hope, you know, comes through in my intention. It's definitely there, of having sort of some social commentaries weaved in into the story, of sort of, you know, the challenges that as a teenager you might be faced with, in terms of, you know, do you want to belong to sort of the pack or successful, or do you go for following your heart and doing your own thing? And what does that mean for you, for maybe people that are caught in the crossfires? So to answer your question, there is no single person, that will see themselves reflected in that nemesis. Luckily, I didn't grow up with a bully or anything like that. So that is more a combination.
What I enjoy about the book is our hero's world goes from this very small, very almost single-minded survival. How am I going to eat tomorrow? What am I going to, you know, am I going to eat today? And we see this hero, and I mean, she's barefoot, she's in rags, she's running around the city through alleys and over rooftops and things like that. And then, you know, very, very quickly things start to develop where she is now involved in rigorous training under a sensei master type, and she's meeting all of these new heroes. And that's what I really enjoyed about the book, is all these other characters start coming in and they start becoming her teammates, and they're having to work together. And she, this, her development from this loner to this leader makes such an amazing story, and you see the development. And I think what I think readers are really going to enjoy is watching this angry teenage girl come into her own, become this strong leader, and try and navigate through this intrigue and being pulled apart between these two rival houses. And it just makes for such an amazing adventure. So I have to say thank you for that, because I'm so excited for this book and hopefully this book series. So is there ways for our listeners to follow you and keep up with the progress, the book coming out, maybe some appearances you'll be able to make and some writing, some signings and things like that?
Absolutely. I am on Instagram under SM Raji Author. And you have the link, so maybe you can put those in the show notes, because I know anybody who tries to spell my name spontaneously will probably not find me. Instagram is a good place to find me. I'm obviously on Amazon and on Goodreads, and I have a newsletter that you can sign up to through my website, which is being updated now, but will be under sraji.com. So sradjy.com. And there, if you sign up for the newsletter, there will soon be a couple chapters of the book actually available for anybody who signs up for the newsletter. And then you'll get any notifications. I'm not sure that there will be any or many in-person events, in part because I'm based out of rural Portugal. So I might do something here. Not sure how relevant that is. But if you have any listeners in rural Portugal, please reach out. I would love to connect. And then beyond that, I think it'll be probably a bit more of a slow burn than usual. I mean, authors tend to, I think, you know, try to do a lot of book signings and events right around the launch. Because I have that human baby due, I'm going to just take the long view. But I'll certainly be seeing how I can do that and how I can show up in different places to connect, whether virtually or in person.
Fantastic. And we're going to put all those links in the show notes at raisedondnd.com. And so folks will be able to follow and sign up for the newsletter and get those first few chapters, because I'm going to tell you, you're going to be hooked right away. You're going to fall in love with Ayla and want to know what's going to happen and how it's going to play out. And you know what? I think too, that I think as gamers, we fall in love with settings as much as we fall in love with characters. And I would love to see adventures based in Thapis. I would love to see like a game book supplement that kind of tells you like what's in Thapis, where things are, maybe some maps, things like that, so that people can put their own heroes in there. And the idea that teenage girls around the world would be playing their own characters in the city of Thapis excites me. And so hopefully that's something we'll see as the book series continues.
I would love that.
There would be some amazing tabletop role-playing game adventures in the city of Thapis. As a dungeon master myself, I'm a professional dungeon master. I run games online for people all over the world. I'm always having literature characters make cameos in my campaigns and things like that. And I love when players can instantly connect to a hero because they're famous from another book. And sometimes I'll even go as far as describing them in such a way that it's reminiscent of the literature character, but they were like, oh, this feels like this character, but I'm not sure if it is them. And I really enjoy that, because it makes that instant connection for my players to be able to go, oh, okay, we can trust them, we can't trust them. This is something familiar, interesting, but different in the setting. So I kind of already have ideas of heroes making their way to the town of Thapis. So I'm excited for that. Moving forward, what other projects are you hoping for in the future? Where has this journey into becoming a published author? What other things are you dreaming about now?
My love of Dungeons and Dragons and fantasy runs deep. And so I'm an avid reader, and that generates just constant ideas. So there are some other ideas that are simmering, let's say, in the background, that may, I don't know if they'll end up as more short stories or novellas or other books, but there is definitely a lot there, just because it's so much fun to write and to be able to share this with the world. So that's sort of one bucket. I do also have actually a memoir in the works. Because I mean, this goes beyond kind of the D&D piece, but, I am a city girl as a starting point, but this move to rural Portugal, has been a massive shift. I mean, we live off grid on a beautiful farm. And so it's very, very different. And so there's sort of a memoir about that journey and the adaptation and what that means. And I will say that even though actually it seems disconnected, I credit Dungeons and Dragons and the amount of fantasy that I read, also thanks to my brother, with a lot of my sheer determination and problem solving skills. I really, you know, if I think back to sort of to my childhood and everything since then, I really think it made a big difference on that front, because I was an absolute introvert when I was little. I was really, really shy. I mean, I was just terrified of public speaking. It was really, my parents actually thought I had no friends. They were a bit worried. And, that has since changed. And again, I really do think that D&D did a lot to sort of trigger that change. Because it just built, you know, I remember thinking, you know, when I started, you have so many choices. You have, when you're creating a character, you have to pick all sorts of things, and you have a certain amount of money, and you have to go to the market and decide what to buy. And you know, you're going on to a crazy adventure where you're not going to be able to predict what happens, and you're going to end up having to problem solve with whatever you get. So all of that really just kind of infused and made me, I actually enjoy problem solving now. I feel like, you know, despite the job descriptions and roles that I've had professionally, it all comes down to, being really good and determined in terms of problem solving. So, that's something that, you know, you find again, obviously living off grid in a rural environment, that is a good skill to have. So, in that sense, I am really a product of D&D, and anything I do, even if it doesn't have dragons in it, sort of comes back to that that root.
I think that is amazing. And, you know, we talk about on Raised on D&D podcast, we talk about that a lot, because we're talking about giving children these skills that are byproducts of the game, right? Like, you don't play Dungeons and Dragons thinking, oh, well, this will help me when I move to rural Portugal, right? You don't think that. But what happens is, playing these games, growing up on these games, introducing these games to our children very early creates these abilities, these critical problem solving connections in the brain, and also a confidence. One of the things I love most about fantasy is, there's a quote, and it's been quoted many times by many different people, but it basically says, fairy tales are to teach children not that there are dragons, but that dragons can be defeated, right? And I think it's beautiful, and I probably butchered it, but that's the gist of it, right? And what it does is it creates this confidence, this feeling of, I can be my own hero. I can do heroic things. I can do things that only would be in legend and myth and epic adventures, right? And I love that your brother introduced you to Dungeons and Dragons. I love that you hid to hear him and his friends playing the stories out. That is so heartwarming to me. My brother is also 7 years older than me, and actually my very first experience with Dungeons and Dragons specifically, my brother had a friend. And we told him how we were trying these different games out, these different tabletop role-playing games. And my brother said, oh, well, my friend is very good at Dungeons and Dragons, and he'll run a game for you and your buddies. And Amazing. He came over And he ran one game, just one game, but he ran one game, second edition Dungeons and Dragons. And he did such a wonderful job. He was so patient and so understanding. And I was really the problem at the table. Like, everybody else was cooperating and I had to be the anti-hero. But he did such a great job of introducing us and really was kind of a role model for my future dungeon mastering skills. So those kind of things. So it's just, it's wonderful how family can bring us into this hobby that can have such an amazing impact on our lives decades later. So
absolutely. And I'll add, I mean, if I, you know, from playing the days playing with my brother, there were within the group, there were a few people that would take turns being dungeon master in different worlds. And they had such different styles where, you know, my brother, when he was dungeon master, he loved detail. I mean, he would create, I mean, it was just incredible to see. And he liked it when his characters had a chance of survival and could develop and do more than just, you know, roll dice and fight or whatever it is. And then other dungeon masters were not quite like that. And so it was also fascinating from a character perspective, because you had to adapt not just to the situation, but to the setting, you know, the different worlds and the dungeon masters, right? In terms of like how they describe things and how they run things and what they expect of you. So I think it really, I think you're spot on when you say that you just absorb all of these life skills that are so incredibly valuable. But I mean, they're not exciting if you set out to master them, right? But in the context of Dungeons and Dragons, it's so much fun and it's so easy and enjoyable. And it really, and I think it has a lot of, there are a lot of levels, right? Because then to me, there was also that element of belonging and, you know, of linking with the group. I mean, we laughed so hard during those adventures. I mean, there were such ridiculous situations that would come about. And that, you know, that the dungeon master couldn't predict and that, you know, we couldn't predict. And so it really, I think it has in building that self-confidence. Again, it does it with so many different layers and elements, that it's really just like an absolute strength. I mean, it's really, I can't, obviously I've drank the Kool-Aid, but I really do think that there's so much to be said. And, you know, I have a few friends who have kids and who do different variations of sort of Dungeons and Dragons with them. And I have one friend who was telling me recently that he was playing with his daughters, and he was like, you know, he had sort of an adventure planned out, and at one point his daughters got attacked. I think they got attacked by trolls. I can't remember if it was troll or something else. And so the daughters were going through the motions, and then one of them stopped and said, well, what if I don't want to fight them? And he was like, well, what do you mean? And because of that attitude, they ended up having a conversation, and it took the adventure in a whole other way where they became a community and became friends. And, you know, he learned from it as well, because it hadn't crossed his mind that that's what his daughters would want to do. So I think it really, it just has so much to it. And I really am excited to, I'm going to borrow your interactive bedtime story idea. And I look forward to having my daughters start playing eventually.
There's all kinds of great games. There's Hero Kids. There's Amazing Tales. There's Mermaid Adventures. There's all these games that are specifically geared towards younger players. And you have that opportunity to get those games, especially through drivethroughrpg.com. So you just download PDFs and you're ready to play with them. And it is so amazing, the creativity. And you're absolutely right. Children will go in directions you do not expect. I can't tell you how many adventures we had where they wanted to talk the bad guy out of his evil ways, to give him a moral lecture, and then everyone go end up at a picnic so that they could be friends. And that, you know, I had to start working around that and say, okay, well, all right, well, this monster is nonverbal. he wants to eat you, and you've got to handle him, right? And I think as parents, as we're playing with our children, we're really going to be surprised by how they view situations, how they handle scenarios, and how they problem solve. And I think that's one of the wonderful parts of this hobby, is even as the dungeon master, the game master, I can be surprised by my players and the ideas they come up with, and they come up with solutions or workarounds that I couldn't have imagined on my own. And it helps me grow. Still to this day, I've been gaming now for over 30 years. I've been in this D&D life, and I still grow from all the interactions with players from all around the world and then right here at my home table. So it's wonderful. And Shanaz, your journey with your family and gaming is just beginning. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to be wonderful. And they may not remember the details of every adventure.
That's okay. I don't either.
As they get old. That's okay, right? But they will remember that feeling of togetherness, yes, that bond, that creativity. And really for children, they're going to remember the attention and the conversation with their mom. And they're going to say, we went on such grand adventures. Shanaz, thank you so much for everything you're doing for the gaming community, for sharing the backstory of your favorite D&D character in this novel. And we look forward to the series and everything that's going to come from it. We are so excited. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I look forward to it. You know, the writing journey is a lot like the Dungeon Master journey. You create characters and they go do their own thing. So looking forward to be on that ride with all the readers. And if I can add just a last note, you know, being in rural Portugal, one of my hopes longer term is, you know, the farm that we're renovating eventually will be an ecotourism project. But we have a lot of castles around here and we have a lot of incredible settings. And I honestly hope that it will come to the point where I can have, whether it's families or groups of friends or whatever, come in. And one of the things that we will offer is sort of gaming, you know, in live settings, in castles. And because I think that, you know, I've never done that. But every time I go to a medieval fair here, it's kind of like I'm doing that. And I think it's just yeah, an extra special way to just enjoy life. So I look forward to sharing that on multiple levels.
Well, you don't have to twist my arm to come to rural Portugal and hang out in castles and play D&D. I can tell you that.
Thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.